Folks, we are so blessed and thankful that you are here. And we are starting a new series this morning. And man, if you could turn to two places with me, please. First, go to Galatians 6 and then go to Luke 9. Galatians 6, Luke 9. I will move my note over here. I got sort of notes in my Bible. It's craziness. I love my Bible. Do you love your word, folks? I mean, honestly, do you love the Bible? When I came to that place of surrender, I fell in love with Jesus and I fell in love with his word. I fell in love with his word and then I fell in love with worship and the Holy Spirit just began to do a great work of renewing in me and it's just so beautiful. But man, first Jesus and the word and just the Holy Spirit all combined, just powerful, powerful. Please fall in love with the word of God. It's powerful. Galatians 6 and Luke 9. And we're talking about everyday matters. Man, this is our new summer series. We're going to be in this thing for quite some time. Mike, do you have that list of all the places that we're going? This is where we're headed, folks, because we're going to be talking about sowing seeds. We're talking about what it is to really sow seeds, realizing that every single day we breathe, we're sowing seeds. Every day we breathe, we're receiving seeds. And like when you understand that every day matters and you understand you do reap what you sow. That is an absolute biblical principle for everyone who breathes, saved or unsaved, Christian or non-Christian. It's that real to every single person who's ever breathed. You reap what you sow. And when you really understand it, your every single day matters. It makes a difference. When you begin to look at your every single day, what seeds have I sown today? What seeds have I received today? Because I know, guaranteed, the seeds that I sown are going to bear fruit, good or bad, and the seeds that I have received are going to bear fruit, good or bad. And these are the areas. Today we're going to talk about what it is to really sow your life, just to completely be all in, to surrender your life and see the fruit from that. Next week we're going to talk about relationships, what it is to reap and to sow in regards to relationships. We're going to talk about the words we speak. Words are seeds. Listen, you understand this, man. We do hit this often because it's the one thing that every single person does every single day is talk. And you're sowing seeds at every word we speak, good or bad, we're sowing seeds. Don't miss that. Be here. And gang, please plug into this summer series. I'm asking you to seriously get online. I think we have something even on our website or on our Facebook page that you can take and share at a click of a, I think it's probably the only good thing about social media is that you can actually push a button and reach really with the good news, hundreds of quote, who they say your friends are. I don't even have Facebook. I'm not on social media. I guess I have no friends. Okay, but I'm okay with that. I'm good with it, honestly. I got my wife, my kids, and I do have some great, great friends, and we don't do the Facebook thing. But great way to push and great way to invite people to this series during the summer, man. Please, please. Come on, we're going to talk about how the Bible, the Word of God, is a seed. Every day we have an opportunity to open this book. America, please hear this. America is not lacking in having Bibles or possessing Bibles. You go to other countries, they're ripping pages out just so they can memorize one page of the Bible and giving it away to someone else so they can memorize one page of the Bible, and they shred the Bible, and it's not disrespectful. They're starving for the Word of God and they pass these pages around just to memorize. America's not lacking Bibles, but we're lacking Bible knowledge. And we're lacking an understanding of the truth of God's word. We're lacking, it sits on the shelf and it gets dusty and nobody opens it when there's people that are so hungry for the word of God. We're going to talk about the word in prayer in a sense of that as a seed, and it will bear fruit. We're going to talk about sowing our money as a seed. We're going to talk about our time. This is a huge one. Please, every one of these is big. Don't miss this one when we talk about your time as a seed. One thing I was talking about with my man Al Batt this morning, we were praying and we were just kind of going over this list and kind of talking about this, and you begin to realize that time has no name. Time has no relationship with mankind. It's not going to slow down for anybody. It's never going to stop. It does one thing. Time does one thing. It keeps going. That's all time does. It's not stopping for anything. It stopped once. The sun stood still on the call of God one time, and that is it forever, and it will always continue. There's one thing that time will always do, and it just keeps going. It doesn't stop. It doesn't slow down for you. It doesn't slow down for me. And you realize, man, I only have so much time. I only have so much time. And then it's gone. What do I do in that time? Every day matters. When you begin to realize your life, your whole entire life has been made up of individual days. When you can break it down, your whole entire life is made up of individual days. Time and your talents that God has given you a gift. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. Some it might be money. Some it might be a voice. Some it might, what are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with your gifts? Some it might be that gift of encouragement, that talent that you walk into a room and it's just everyone is glad you're there. Other people have the opposite gift. You walk into the room and everyone else leaves. You're like, right? You ever? I'm not saying there's no one in this church, but I'm just saying some have that gift. And then I love this one. You're not going to, you cannot, I wish you'd never miss any of these. Because I believe it's going to change your every single day. But this is a huge one. You need, we're going to preach on this. It's the second to last message in this series. Is you need to understand what it is to be a seed plucker. Specifically parents. Because the enemy is trying to sow seeds into our kids and into your marriage as husband and wife and into you as a young adult who is single. And he's trying to plant. Listen, the enemy is a seed planter as well. And we've got to identify quickly, and we need to be seed pluckers. And I can't wait to preach. I've been looking, honestly, this has been 3 month prep. I wanted to preach this 3 months ago, and God just steered us into a different direction. And now I really feel by the Spirit of God that I have a freedom to preach on this throughout the whole summer. And we've got to understand what it is to be seed pluckers and to know Satan continues to sow seeds, but I'm going to be plucking them out as fast as possible because they're not going to grow root and they're not going to bear fruit in me in my house. It's just not going to happen. And man, that's going to be powerful. And the last one we see throughout Scripture, even in Galatians 3, that Jesus is the seed that has been planted for us in salvation. We're going to talk about Jesus as the seed that has been planted and just reaping from that. And the fruit from that is you and I in eternal life. It's beautiful. But come on, we got to get into this today. Galatians 6. Let's just ask God to bless our time. Turn to Galatians 6, please. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our sense of worship. God, I thank you for this series. And God, that we would truly get it, that every day really matters. And when we understand that, God, it will change our everyday. It will change us as followers of you. It'll change us as friends in relationships. It'll change us as husbands and wives. It'll change us as those who are single. It'll change us as teenagers. It'll change the children when they really get it, God, that every day matters. Every day matters. It makes a difference. And in that, in understanding that, God, it will change our every day. Hallelujah. Father, bless this time, please. Speak to us this morning. And if you're in this place, ask God, God, speak to me. God, feed me today. I'm hungry today. Feed me today. God, help me to see what you need me to see. God, help me to hear what you need me to hear. God, I'm listening. Can you just say that to the Father? Father, I'm listening. I'm listening today. I'm here and I'm here on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Galatians 6 says this. This is great. We'll go with verse 7. It says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I mean, you could just stop and dwell. I've stopped on this and meditated on this and dwelt on this and went over and over and over and over it. I love this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Regardless of what you see in the world today, regardless of how you see just crazy running rampant, regardless of how you see even in hate that's going around, regardless of what you see around the world in hate, and now in America, regardless of what you see, regardless of what you see in regards to it's okay to sin, and regardless of all of that, don't be deceived. Because God is not mocked. And sometimes we can get into a place to think, man, we are losing this thing. We're losing this thing. We're in a political season and it's crazy, crazy political season. I think all political seasons are crazy, but this one is like the tip of the iceberg, man. It's just nutso out there, folks. And as followers of Jesus Christ and those who really understand God is all powerful, sovereign, and in absolute control, if you think for one moment that the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Conservative Party is going to win America, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. It is God Almighty. And you know how he does it? Get this, please hear this. You know how he does it? He does it through the local church. You know how you go through the local church that's winning a family at a time, and then you win a town at a time, and then you win a region at a time, and then you begin to win the country back when the local church shows up and does what it's called to do, and understanding the power and the authority of God. Please understand this. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republican. It's not the conservatives. Certainly not Hillary. It's certainly not Trump. These guys are not going to win America back. If you would understand anything about the power, the absolute authority and the power of the local church, then we begin to understand we absolutely can gain ground again in America, but it has to be through the church, because we have to understand, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. And I think it's top of the list of worst deceptions ever is when somebody actually truly believes that they are right and they're not. To be deceived, the word deceived here, it means to be misled. And so many people have been misled to believe that they are right in so many different areas. And then you have to come to a place that this is the source of where the check really comes from. This is the source of where that self-check, am I right or am I wrong? And it's according to the word of God, what God has said. And so many people have come to a place, believe that they are right. And they have been so sadly misled and deceived to find out they have been so sadly wrong. The Bible says God will not be mocked. He's not going to be scorned. He's not going to come to a place to be wrong or to be mocked or to be scorned or to be laughed at. That is only going to last a season. Because look what he says. Get this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. God is, when we understand this, man, God is one who sees and knows all things. He sees every seed that's planted, and every seed that is planted is going to bear fruit. Come on, Job 4:8 says this. When you begin to understand this, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. This is not just for the church, man. This is not just for the Christian. This is a law that goes from generation to generation. This is a law that's handed down from mankind to mankind, that in anything, in anyone, you will reap what you sow. I love this. Those who plow iniquity, those who sow trouble, what's the reaping of that? What's the harvest? You're gonna harvest trouble. If you're sowing trouble, you're going to reap trouble. And we've got to understand this, right? Psalm 37 says this. I love this. Psalm 37, 12 through 13, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Now look at, you think that the world's just going to stand by and let the church just squeak by? Listen, all through scripture, all through the days, man, always persecution against the church. There'll always be those who come against us. There'll all be those who hate you and hate the church or come against the church. But I believe the Bible is true. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I love this. You talk about God is not going to be mocked. You look at this, the wicked plots against the righteous, gnashes his teeth. I mean, he's just come, the wicked come at the church, come at the righteous with such an anger and hatred. And what does God do? I love this. He laughs. He laughs at him, for he sees his days coming. And God is not going to be mocked. As much as the world wants to believe their own thoughts and their own beliefs, when they're coming after the church, when they're coming after Israel, when they're coming after the community of believers, listen, God just sits and laughs because he knows. He knows what's coming. He sees what's ahead for the wicked. Man, that's not a harsh verse. That's a comforting verse for the righteous. That's a comforting verse for the church to say, God has my back. I wrote it down in my Bible right next to this. God has my back. He has my back always. And to know that the one supreme, true, living God laughs at those who are wicked and come against his people, come against his church, because he knows what's coming for them. When you really begin to dig this picture up, I love this. Look at this again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And again, the whole part about being deceived, this is like an irrevocable law. This is a law that has no escape. We reap what we sow. There's no escape from that. There's no getting out of that when we really understand this. For whoever sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. I love this. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Corruption is corrosion or death. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So folks, I mean, the serious question this morning is what are we sowing and where are we sowing to? Are we sowing into the Spirit to reap eternal life, or are we sowing into the flesh, really realizing that the end game of that is corruption, is will decay. It will come to a place to corrode. It will come to a place to death. If we just continue to feed the flesh, it's going to come to a place to death. Or if we continue to feed the Spirit, there is life, man. There is eternal life attached to that. And again, this is a law that has no escape, man. You reap what you sow. And as we're going over this, turn to Luke 9, please. I want to show you this as we come to a place to say, okay, Sean, where does this apply to really surrendering my life? Where does this apply to my life actually being a seed? That I can come to a place to say, God, I want to sow my life into your work and into your kingdom. I want to sow my life as one who says, yes, I've come to Christ. Yes, I've confessed that he is Lord, which means I've surrendered to him. I've bowed a knee to him. I've repented. I've believed. I've surrendered. He is my king. He is my Lord. He is my master. His word is absolutely true. I will walk in obedience to it. Like, where is this in regards to following Jesus? Man, Jesus gives us a great picture. Matthew 16, Mark 8, Luke 9, same story. And I want to pick it up right here in Luke 9, verse 16. It says this. I want to pick it up actually in verse 18. And then it happened while he was praying alone, Jesus. This is Luke 9, 18. The disciples were with him and he questioned them saying, who do the people say that I am? And they answered him and said, John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. And then one of the prophets of old has risen. Like, that's just like an easy answer. Some say that you're John the Baptist. And I'm sure Jesus is like, he's my cousin. We kind of walked the earth at the same time. He just died a short time ago while I was still living. That's impossible. It can't be. Like, come on, guys, put two and two together. Some say Elijah's. And then I like this guy. But others, the one of the prophets. You're just one of the prophets that have risen again. Like, that's just kind of a blanket, right? And then Peter answers and said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he's saying here. You are the Christ. I see who you are. I know who you are. I've seen your works. I've seen what you can do. I've seen your love for people. I've seen your general care. I've seen your compassion. I've seen your mercy. I've seen your forgiveness. And I know that you are, he's saying here, you're the Messiah. You're the anointed one from God. Peter saw something and he got it. But Jesus warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now, I want to read something from Mark 8. This is the same story. Okay, here, you've got Peter. He just called him the Christ. He just said, listen, anyone, you're not John the Baptist. You're not Elijah. You're not one of the prophets. You are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Son of the living God. I know who you are. Peter just climbed the ladder of success, man. He just said the absolute right answer when Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Peter nailed it. This is who you are. And that is a question that every single person who's ever had breath will have to answer here on this side of the eternity or on the other side of eternity. You've got to come to a place to say you are the Christ, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And here's a great picture. Even in Mark 8, you've got Peter. He's on the highest of highs. He just answered it correctly. I just want to read this in Mark 8. It says this. This is the same time frame, the same story. Jesus pulling his disciples. And then he began to teach them and say, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Right? Remember, Luke 9, Luke records it as the one who just right before Jesus said this, Peter answers the question, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then right after this, in Mark, here, Mark, John, he references this. And here you've got Peter, he says this. And Jesus was stating the matter plainly. Listen, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to die. and I'm going to raise again. Listen, when the Bible says he said it plainly, he was making it known clearly, without question, what was going to take place. And then you've got Peter, who was just on the absolute super duper high of making the right statement that no one else could understand. And here Peter makes this statement, and then he says this. And after Jesus stated the matter plainly, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. What? I mean, there's times that, Peter, you are so good. And within a matter of a sentence, I mean, we see this in biblical order. Peter just comes off the highest of high. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I get it. You're the Messiah. I'm in. Ooh, that was a super statement. Yes, that was great. Listen to me. Hey, I mean, I can just see, hey, I got that. You guys thought he was John the Baptist. You guys are crazy. I got this one right. And Jesus makes a statement of, listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised up on 3 days, and I could imagine, I don't know how this thing unplayed, but Peter, just coming off a high, maybe he thought that he had the right now to speak into Jesus, kind of pulls Jesus aside and says, hey, listen, I don't know if, that's just really not going to work out in my plans. I mean, I know that you're going to be the reigning king, and everything is going really good, and I mean, you've walked on water, and I tried that and didn't. You've already raised the dead and Jairus' daughter, and you've spoke to the storm and calmed the sea. You're doing miracle after miracle. I mean, we kind of have a pretty good following. And you know, like, I'm kind of in the club here. It's not going to work out my plans. It's not. You really can't die. That's not good for business. I mean, I'm trying to equate, like, what does that, like, line up to? It's like, some 25-year-old who's been divorced 5 times coming to your 50th anniversary and telling you how to do marriage. And then it's amazing because Jesus, I like this, look at this, verse 33, Jesus turning around, seeing his disciples. Jesus made a point. I love when the Bible makes points. Jesus made a point to get his disciples' attention. And then he proceeds. He rebuked Peter. Hey, disciples, pay attention. This is more serious than you think it is. Because there's a point that I am going. This is why I came, was to get to the cross. This is a kingdom act. And you're missing it. He turns and gets his disciples' attention. And he rebukes Peter, like, what did that look like? You're going to correct me? Hey, Peter, you're wrong. Don't lead these disciples to think that that's okay. Look at this. Look at what he does. He turns around, seeing his disciples, rebukes Peter and says, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. Peter, pay attention. You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your own interest. You're thinking about the interest of the here and now and today. But you've missed. You've taken your eyes off of God's interest. Then I want to go back to Luke 9, and he's setting this thing up. I love how Jesus just kind of sets him up. And then Luke, right after he goes after Peter, he sets the record straight. Get your mind off of man's ideas and get them back on God's. He goes right into verse 23. I could imagine Jesus a little heated at this time. And he goes in to say this. And he was saying to them all. Now here he's got the crowds together. He's saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily. This is where this series begins, folks. Every day matters. According to who? According to Jesus, our King. According to Jesus, our Lord. According to Jesus, our Master. Every day matters. And with that, what do we do with it every day? For whoever wishes, now look at this, verse 23 again. For he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me. Look at, Jesus didn't say, if you're thinking about it, or you know, it's going to be a piece of cake, it's going to be an easy road, you know, you're just going to follow me and everything's just going to be, you know, box of roses, you know, daisies in the field, walking. Jesus said, listen, if you are serious about coming after me, he says, things have to happen. He says, he must. I love this. Jesus doesn't leave it up for question. He just rebuked Peter. He just corrected the disciples. He set everything straight. Get your eyes off of yourself and put them on God's work. Because if, then he goes right into this. If you're going to do that, you must. Not question, not a thought, not I'm on the fence. You must, what? Deny yourself. You must. The word here, deny, it's a powerful word. It means to disown. You must disown yourself. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross. How often? Daily. Mark 16 doesn't record daily. Or I'm sorry, Matthew 16 doesn't record daily. Mark 8 doesn't record daily. That's why I want to spend some time right here in Luke 9. Luke records daily. This is how he heard this. Daily, you know what daily means? Daily. Now, is that a seasonal word? Is that like world, or is that a sense of time? It's a sense of time that means every day. When you begin to understand, man, my life is consisted of individual days. That's my life. A whole bunch of individual days put together is my life. And I want to live a life that I have no regrets. Can you do that? Can you live a life that you honestly begin today and say, God, if I really get this Everyday Matters series, if I really allow you to speak to me and I begin to understand that every single day I'm supposed to disown myself, I'm not supposed to be in my own interest, my mind is supposed to be on your kingdom, our Father in heaven, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, not my will, it's not my kingdom. God, I want your will, I want your kingdom. Day after day after day that I realize that every single day is another day that it matters, it makes a difference, and today I disown myself and I pick up my cross today. And the cross was a symbol of death, but we die to self and our self-interest and say, God, I'm all in. Listen, yes, we can make mistakes, but I don't want to regret a day, folks. I want to live a life that is, I would have done it the same way again and again and again. Why? Because it was so real to me that every single day mattered. And I love this, man. I got to get into this thing. This is what he says here. And this is Jesus. He's still speaking. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow me. Put your eyes on me. Follow me. Verse 24, for whoever wishes to save his life. Here, our life now becomes a seed. Look at this. He just made it clear. He just made it clear. If you're going to come after me, you must disown yourself, die daily, and follow me. And here comes our life as a seed. He goes right into this. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever is trying to hold on to your life. Whoever is trying to not plant your life as a seed and you're holding on to it. Seeds in your hand, folks, do nothing. Unless any seed is ever planted, it will never grow. Will never grow. Look what he says here. I love this. For he who wishes to save his life, if you're holding on to your life, Jesus says you're going to lose it. You'll bear no fruit. But whoever, I love this, whoever loses his life. What's that mean? I've gone over this and gone over this and gone over this, and I just want to break it down real simple. He who comes to a place to plant his life as a seed, you lose your life to yourself. You surrender self to him. He just went in saying, listen, I'm about to die. I am sowing my life as a seed. Jesus came and he surrendered all. And he says, listen, if you're going to be a follower of me, you've got to be willing to surrender all. Because if you're holding on to your life, if you're holding on to that place, then I'm not ready to surrender. The truth is, you bear no fruit. But I love this. He says this. But whoever loses his life for my sake, and that could mean even death. You've come to a place to surrender even to the point of death. He is the one. Because you've planted your life as a seed, he's the one who understands what it is to gain a saved life. When you come to a place to plant your life as a seed, you will reap eternal life. then you understand what it is. I have lost my life. I've come to that place to surrender, even possibly to a point of death. But man, I know that I've gained everything. I know that I've gained it all. But if I hold on to my life and I say, you know what? Nope. Jesus said, you lose it all. You lose it all. For what is a profit of man who gains the whole world and loses his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, right here, the Word of God. Could you imagine Jesus saying, I will be ashamed of you? He's serious about this surrender thing. He's serious about our every single day. I love it, man, when we come to a place to really sow our lives into him. He says, you will then reap life. If you're willing to lose your life, you will then understand what it is to gain life. I can't think of a better start for this series to see what it is to lose our lives. If I can come to that place of true surrender, if I can come to that place to say, I'm all in, you have my life, then we look at that list and say, you can have my relationships. You can have my words. You can have my time of Bible and prayer. You can have my gifts and my time. You can have me understanding what it is to pluck seeds. And you just go down this list and you say, you have it all. But today's a day that you come to a place to say, I'm all in. Can you just bow your heads with me, please, just for a moment? And man, if you're in this place and you know that there's a sense that you've just been holding on to your life, your way. I'm going to do it my way. I can get away with it. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. There's nobody who gets away with anything ever, ever, ever. Nobody ever gets away with anything. But maybe today the Spirit of God is saying, did you hear it? Today, right now, 10:10 is your chance to say, God, I surrender. God, I'm done. I'm done with myself. I want to sow my life as a seed. Because in that, God, you've said that I gain life. And today, I'm willing. Today's the day I become willing to deny myself, to disown me, to pick up my cross daily, daily, today, daily. I want to follow you. I want to be all in. Today I sow my life as a seed and I surrender. That's to the church. That's to the Christian that you come to a place and say, yes, I know that I'm saved. But man, I'm not surrendered. And I can remember that moment on my living room floor. I bought a house. It was a one-bedroom love shack. That's all it was. And I remember on that floor in my living room. This is right before Renee and I were ever married. I was still just... And I went to a point to say, I'm in. I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm done with the world. Yes, I knew that I was saved. I knew all about the cross and sin and salvation and God's holiness and his wrath and heaven and hell. And I certainly did come to a place to understand salvation. And yes, I was saved, but I was not surrendered. And what a huge difference that is. And honestly, it was just Jesus' love for me that he would put himself on a cross for me. For me to just say, yes, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. But here on this floor, I come to a place to be surrendered. I'm done with the world. That door is closed behind me and I will never return. I can tell you from that moment, there are moments in the presence of God. Moments. Just a moment with him that change your life, that will change your every day. And there is that moment right there on my living room floor. It was just God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in me, in a room. I came to a place to say, I will follow you. I'm done with myself, and I'm done with walking in a sense of my own interests. I want to pursue you in your kingdom. And from that moment, my life has not been the same. Can you do that today? Come to say, Father, I surrender. I surrender. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, that you would just come to a place to say, Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I call on your name for salvation. I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I repent from my sin and I turn. Can you say that to him? Today's the day of salvation for me. Today I turn to Jesus. Today I confess that he is Lord of my life. And you're in this place today that you would just say, as a believer, as a follower, today's my moment. Today I surrender. Please just put your hand in the air up high, please. Up high, please. Today's the day. No turning back. Today I sow my life as a seed. Today I lay down my life daily, every day. Today's a new day. And today I lay down my life and I surrender. Every day matters. And from today forward, this is going to change my every day. Take my life. Can you just say that? Lord, take my life. Take my life. I surrender. I surrender. In Jesus' name.